Chapter 5. When you have many questions on your mind, and you suddenly have an opportunity to ask them, the questions tend to crowd together and trip over one another, much like passengers on a crowded train when it reaches a popular station. With Bruce and the Snow Scouts asleep, the two elder Baudelaires finally had an opportunity to talk with the mysterious scout in the sweater. But everything they wanted to ask seemed hopelessly entangled.
How?
Violet started, but the question, how did you know we were the Baudelaires, stumbled against the question, who are you? And fell back against the questions, are you a member of VFD, and what does VFD stand for?
Do,
Klaus said, but the question, do you know where our sister is, tripped over the question, do you know if one of our parents is alive, which was already struggling with, how can we get to the headquarters, and will my sisters and I ever find a safe place to live without constantly being threatened by Count Olaf and his troop as they hatch plan after plan to steal the Baudelaire fortune? Although the middle Baudelaire knew that his last question was unlikely to be answered at all. I'm sure you have lots of questions, the boy whispered, but we can't talk here. Bruce is a light sleeper, and he's caused VFD enough trouble already without learning another of our secrets. I promise all your questions will be answered, but first we've got to get to the headquarters. Come with me. Without another word, the sweated scout turned around, and the Baudelaires saw he was wearing a backpack inscribed with an insignia they had seen at Caligari Carnival. At first glance, this insignia merely appeared to be an eye, but the children had discovered that if you looked closely, you could see the initials VFD cleverly hidden in the drawing. The scout began to walk, and the two siblings got out of their blankets as quietly as they could and followed him. To their surprise, he did not lead them toward the cave entrance, but to the back of the cave, where the Snow Scout's fire had been. Now it was nothing more than a pile of grey ashes, although it was still very warm, and the smell of smoke was still in the air. The sweated scout reached into his pocket and brought out a flashlight. I had to wait for the fire to die down before I showed you, he said, and with a nervous glance at the sleeping scouts, turned the flashlight on and shone it above them. Look! Violet and Klaus looked and saw that there was a hole in the ceiling big enough for a person to crawl through. The last wisps of smoke from the fire were floating up into the hole. A chimney! Klaus murmured. I was wondering why the fire didn't fill the cave with smoke. The official name is vertical flame diversion, the scout whispered. It serves as a chimney and as a secret passageway. It runs from this cave to the Valley of Four Drafts. If we climb up there, we can reach headquarters within hours instead of hiking all the way up the mountain. Years ago, there was a metal pole that ran down the center of the hole so people could slide down and hide in this cave in case of an emergency. The pole is gone now, but there should be carved toe holes in the sides to climb all the way up. He shone the flashlight on the cave wall, and sure enough, the Baudelaires could see two rows of small carved holes, perfect for sticking one's feet and hands. How do you know all this? Violet asked. The scout looked at her for a moment, and it seemed to the Baudelaires that he was smiling behind his mask. I read it, he said, in a book called Remarkable Phenomena of the Mortmain Mountains. That sounds familiar, Klaus said. It should, the scout replied. I borrowed it from Dr. Montgomery's library. Dr. Montgomery was one of the Baudelaire's first guardians, and at the mention of his name, Violet and Klaus found they had several more questions they wanted to ask.
When?
Violet started.
Why?
Klaus started.
Come!
Another voice startled the Baudelaires and the scout. The voice of Bruce, waking up halfway at the sound of the conversation. All three children froze for a moment as Bruce turned over on his blanket and with a long sigh went back to sleep. "We'll talk when we reach the headquarters," the scout whispered. "The vertical flame diversion is very echoey, so we'll have to be absolutely silent as we climb, or the echoing noise will alert Bruce and the snow scouts. It'll be very dark inside, so you'll have to feel against the wall for the footholds, and the air will be smoky, but if you keep your masks on, they'll filter the air and make it easier to breathe. I'll go first and lead the way. Are you ready?"